Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And our text for this morning consists of three verses. Verse 22, 23, and 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, it's only when ye pray. We do not receive unless we ask. We need to pray. When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Purposely sang that hymn, all things are possible. All things are possible to us through prayer. We've just read it here in these verses. Whatsoever ye shall ask. And how often in this series of messages on being in the school of prayer have we come across those words? Whatsoever, all things. And the Lord says all you have to do is ask. And here the Savior is giving his disciples another lesson about prayer. This time it is an object lesson involving a barren fig tree. We tend to remember more from object lessons than we do from mere words. And so the Lord not only in this incident condemned this fig tree because it did not bear any fruit, but it was also to teach his disciples something more about prayer. The Savior, we are told, was hungry when he came upon the fig tree, expecting to find fruit thereon. He found none. None. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, when you look there at the Lord condemning that fig tree because it didn't bear any fruit, the Lord had come upon that fig tree because he was hungry. So we're told. He hungered. In the verse 12, that tells us that he is man. He hungered as men are hungry. And then we are told that he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And the very next morning, the fig tree had died and had withered even to its very roots. There we have the dual nature of Christ. He hungered, tells us he's man. He condemned the fig tree and it died. That tells us he's God. He is the God-man. Two distinct natures in one person and God forever. When Christ became man, he did not cease to be God. He is the God-man. And the very next morning, we read in the verse 20, And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots inside 24 hours. The fig tree had died. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest, it's withered away. It's withered away. Now we know that if something happened to the roots of a tree, it'll not wither away immediately. But here was this fig tree, and it did wither away inside 24 hours, because the next morning they came by the fig tree, and it was withered away, dried up to the very roots. And Peter expressed his surprise. It was the suddenness of the tree's demise that Peter couldn't believe. He couldn't take it in that the fig tree had dried up so quickly. And he asked the Lord, or said to the Lord, Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And the very next word that the Lord said to Peter and the other disciples was a very simple word. He said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. In other words, Peter, if you want to see great things done, then you must have faith in God. Because the disciples had seen a great thing done there before their eyes. And they had seen the Lord do great things on other occasions. And here was another mighty act of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fig tree was withered up, and Peter was amazed. And the Lord said, Peter, you need to have faith in God. If you want to see things done, you must have faith in God. And that was a word to Peter and the other disciples. And is it not a word to us? Is it not a word to us? When we pray, we need to have faith in God. Have faith in God. And here the Lord is addressing his disciples, those who would have been nearest to the Lord. Every day they were with him. Every day they saw his acts. Every day they heard his word. But still, the Lord said, you need to have faith in God. So let us take those words then. For if we have faith in God, then all things are possible. All things are possible. When you look at the words of the Savior, we see that he is prompting us to pray. He's prompting us to pray. When we read all that the Lord said here, it would surely prompt us to pray, and indeed to ask, when we pray, to ask great things of God. But we will not see anything accomplished unless we have faith in God. And that would be a good test. When we petition the Lord about any matter, do we have faith in God? Do we have faith in God that he's able to do what we asked according to his will? First of all, we have God's faith, because that's how those words may be rendered. Have faith in God. Those words may be rendered, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And so we see anything that is done We must, or anything we want to see done, we must have faith in God. We must have the faith of God. And if we ask, what is faith? What is faith then? The Lord himself gives us the answer. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is, this is what it is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. That's what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance is a word that means confidence or assurance. So faith is the confidence, the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, when we pray about a matter and we have faith in God, we have the confidence, we have the assurance that what we ask will be done. Faith is, that's what it is. Faith is the confidence, faith is the assurance that those things we ask for will be done. Those things that we ask for, we will receive. It is the confidence of in God that he is able, that he has the power to do what we ask. It's having confidence in God. It is having that assurance in our God that he is able to do what we ask. Would that not prompt us then to pray? These words surely prompt us to pray. Because here we see that when Christ pronounced the sentence upon the barren fig tree, the Lord himself was confident that the next morning the fig tree would be withered away. He knew that. He knew what the end result would be. And my, when we pray, may we have that same assurance and same confidence that we know what the end result will be. It is the link between our prayers and our petitions to God and God's power and provision. It's the link between we bring our prayers and our petitions to the Lord, and in between is that faith, that assurance, that confidence that God will supply our need according to his power, his ability. Have faith in God. Not only God's faith, it's a given faith. Since the Savior here speaks about having the faith of God, that must mean the faith we have is given to us by God. Faith is something that we cannot manufacture ourselves. In order that we might trust in Christ and receive him as our Savior, we are told by Paul, by grace are you saved through faith. But how could we have faith in God if we're spiritually dead? We cannot manufacture faith if we're dead spiritually. And yet Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith. He goes on to say, that not of yourselves. And so for us to have faith in Christ, to be our Savior, that faith must be given to us. It's a given faith. And that faith is given to us by God himself. He gives us the faith. He enables us to believe and to receive Christ as our Savior. And so being a given faith, we remember what the disciples or the apostles said on one occasion. They said in Luke 17, verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. And so you see there the disciples acknowledge that this faith is given by God. And if the faith is to be increased, God must increase our faith. It's his work. And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. They wanted the Lord to increase their faith that they might accomplish great things for God through prayer. And we know that the Lord often spoke to his disciples and gently rebuked them for their little faith. In Matthew chapter 6, and there we read in verse 30, Matthew 6 and 30, Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Matthew 14, and there in the verse 31, 14 and verse 31, And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? That was a word to Peter. And again, Matthew 16, and this time in the verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he saith unto them, O ye of little faith. We have just given four references to the Lord's word to the disciples, saying to them, ye have little faith. Is it any wonder then that they on another occasion said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. What is our faith like today? Would that not be our prayer also? Lord, increase my faith. Because if I have more faith, I will see more things done in answer to prayer. The apostles didn't have the confidence or the faith that God could clothe them. The Lord says, I clothe the grass of the field. I can clothe you. Why are you of little faith? They didn't have the confidence or the assurance that God could still the tempest. Thought they were going to perish. They didn't have the confidence or the assurance or the faith that God could supply them with bread when they were in the ship and they had no bread. They lacked the confidence and assurance and the faith in God. Why don't we lack that confidence too sometimes? So let us then pray, Lord, increase my faith. The Lord told the disciples, have faith in God. God's faith, given faith. We need a great faith. Because here, the Lord speaks about moving mountains through prayer, through the prayer of faith. That means we need great faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This mountain. You look at the mountain, what do you say? That's impossible. And maybe we have mountains in our life. Those problems that loom like great mountains before us. And they've been there for some time. How we long to see those mountains removed. And yet here is the answer. Have faith in God. Great faith. The Lord acknowledges great faith. Again, going back to Matthew. And there we read in Matthew 8. And verse 10. Matthew 8 and verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Referring to the centurion. The centurion said to the Lord, acknowledged the Lord, didn't have to come to his house. The centurion believed that all the Lord had to do was to speak the word. And that's what the Lord was acknowledging. The centurion's great faith. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And we read in the verse 13, and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Great faith. Christ acknowledged great faith. You go to Matthew 15, and in Matthew 15 there in verse 28, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. There it is. Whatsoever ye shall ask. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. And the woman wanted her daughter to be delivered of an evil spirit. That's what she wanted. That was her will. And the Lord said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It's done immediately. Like the barren fig tree. Peter was amazed at how quickly it had shriveled up. And here we find, in those two occasions, when the Lord acknowledged great faith, what was asked of him, he did it immediately. So if our faith is weak, and our faith is small, or our faith is little, let us pray then, Lord, increase my faith, that I may have the confidence to ask great things of thee. So we have seen the Lord and is prompting us to pray. We see also the Lord and the petitioner in prayer. Having exhorted his disciples to have faith in God, the Lord goes on to speak about what may be accomplished by them having faith in God. First of all, he draws attention to the individuals. The individuals. What do we have there? Again in Mark. In Mark 20, 11, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that Whosoever. There's the individuals. Whosoever. 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 Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe that those things which he saith, those things which he has asked for, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But the Lord says, whosoever. There's the individuals. Individuals who have faith in God. That's the only qualification if we want to see great things accomplished with regard to prayer, is that we have faith in God. Whosoever, whosoever, that includes us. That includes us if we have faith in God. We look at that word, whosoever, and say, would it include men of prayer like Abraham or Samuel or David or Daniel or Paul? Yes, it does. It would include those men. We look at the word whosoever and say, would it include men like George Mueller? Would it include men like E.M. Bounds or Samuel Rutherford or Jonathan Edwards or Duncan Campbell? Yes, of course. It would, because they were men of prayer and they were men who had faith in God. You get anything about George Mueller, you'll read there about a man who had faith in God. And he speaks about praying for certain matters. And maybe the Lord didn't answer immediately. But George Mueller talks about going on and praying on and praying on for weeks and months. He prayed for the salvation of two men in particular in his life. When George Mueller was called home to glory, those two men were still in their sin. But one of them was saved the day of George Mueller's funeral. His prayer was answered. And the other man was saved after George Mueller's death. Mueller's prayer was still answered, because he was a man who had faith in God. Whosoever, the Lord says, that includes us. If we have faith in God and believe God and have that assurance and that confidence that what we ask of him, he is able also to perform. That includes, then we are included in that word, whosoever. Whosoever. So let us then be like Abraham. What was it said? What was said of Abraham? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. He prayed for a son. And the Lord promised him a son. But he had to wait 25 years for that son. Indeed, he waited until he was in his old age, until he was 100 years old. But Abraham still believed God. He didn't give up believing. And throughout those 25 years, Abraham had faith in God, that God would do what he promised, that God would give him a son. And we know that God gave him a son in the person of Isaac. Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith in God. You have the individuals and then you have the impossibility. Here the Lord speaks about moving mountains, as he had done on another occasion in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, and there in verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? That was the father who had brought his son to the disciples. The young son was possessed with a devil, and he had come to the disciples and they couldn't cast him out. And they asked the Lord, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus saith unto them, because. Here's the reason. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And so you see, even faith, a grain of mustard seed, is still great faith. It's still great faith. A grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There the Lord says himself. There the Lord says himself, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Unto you. As an individual. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith in God. Not what the Lord said. Why could we not cast them out? The disciples said. Then the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. In other words, they didn't even have that. Mark 9 and verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Things to us, believer, that appear to be impossible. Things perhaps we've been praying about, and we think to ourselves, oh, really, that thing's impossible. But the Lord says, all things are possible unto you. All. So if our faith is weak, then let us pray, Lord, increase my faith. If our belief in God is weak, then let us pray, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Let us pray even as the Savior himself prayed. When in the garden, what did he pray? Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. There's the Lord. That's what he prayed. Let us then bring those words with us to the throne of grace. And let us say and re-echo the words of the Savior, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And the mountains we have in our lives, mountains that need to be removed, God is able. God is able. May we have that confidence, that assurance, Faith is the substance, confidence, assurance of things hoped for. Confidence and assurance that God will answer our prayers. Praise his name. As well as the individuals and the impossibility, the Lord mentions the interferences. The interferences. What is it that would interfere with us seeing mountains remove? What is it? Well, the Lord tells us here what those interferences are. What are they? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, in his heart shall not doubt. There's the interference. Shall not doubt. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. That those things which he shall, that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What are the two things? Doubt and unbelief. Now what the Lord says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Doubt and unbelief. There are the interferences to us seeing great things done. Doubt and unbelief. There the Lord highlights those twin ailments, as it were, that plague the prayer life of believers. Doubt and unbelief. Need to believe. The Lord mentioned believe twice in verse 23, and he mentioned it again in verse 24. You need to believe, the Lord says. Have faith in God. Have that assurance, that confidence. You need to believe. You need to believe that God is able to do this. You need to believe. The Lord said, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There it is. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Luke 12, verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. See, the Lord recognized that plague of doubt in the lives of his disciples. And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Don't let doubt get into your mind. And again in Matthew 13, verse 58, and he said, and he did not many mighty works there, that is in Capernaum, in Bethsaida. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. James tells us in James 1 verse 6, when we were to pray, nothing wavering, no wavering. Believe and doubt not. So we have considered the promptings for prayer, petitions, petitioners in prayer. And then we have finally the promises of prayer. The words of our Savior contain great promises. Again, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever. There's the promise. He shall have whatsoever. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There's the promise again. Ye shall have them. Look at the basis for the promise. The basis. The Lord said, in verse 23, verily I say unto you. And verse 24, therefore I say unto you. There's the basis. It is the Lord's own word. This is not hearsay. This is not even the words of a common preacher. This is the word of God. And God says, God says, what ye ask for, ye shall have. That's the basis of us coming to the place of prayer and praying and asking for certain matters, believing that we shall have them based upon what the Lord has said. Verily, I say unto you. We know the word verily means truly. Truly, truly. So, of course, the Lord gives us and to and his disciples the truth. So if the Lord has said it, he is the faithful and true witness, then it must be true. It must be true. It means that then there's no room for doubt there, because the Lord has said it. There's no room for unbelief there, because the Lord has said it. And when he said, ye shall have whatsoever, and when he said, ye shall have, verses 23 and 24, we can then go to the place of prayer with confidence, knowing that the Lord himself said it. Ye shall have. Why then should we doubt? He said, ye shall have. He said, ye shall have. And we read in 1 John 5, in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that he'll answer. That's what John's saying. We know that he will answer. Ye ask anything. Anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. We have the petitions that we ask of him. We'll have what we ask for. What a tremendous promise we have here, and promises indeed. And remember, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, truly. We know, of course, the Lord tells us the truth. What does the devil tell us? The devil tells us a pack of lies. That's what he tells us. He tells us a pack of lies. The Lord said there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. And so when he comes and whispers in our ear and seeks to get into our mind and tell us the Lord will not answer your prayers, remember, he's a liar. The Lord said he's a liar. The Lord says he's the father of lies. The Lord says the truth isn't in him, but the truth is in Christ. So let us not allow the devil to influence us when we come to pray. But rather, let us have the Lord influence us when we pray. And the Lord has said, whatsoever. Not only here, as we have known over the past weeks. Has he not said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, whatsoever. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So there's the basis. It's the Lord's own word. And then it's a boundless promise. We see here just what we've been saying, that what we pray for, the Lord has told us to pray for, there are no boundaries. You notice there are no boundaries. There are no limitations. For he said, ye shall have whatsoever. It's boundless. Whatsoever he saith. Whatever you ask for, whatsoever. Then again he said, what things soever ye desire, verse 24. There's no boundaries, there are no borders. Would these words not add to our confidence and also to our expectation that the Lord will answer prayer? No matter how great the mountain is that we're praying about, the Lord can remove it. In answer to our prayers, what do we need? What do we need? What do we need? We need faith in God. So we need faith in God that he will do it. The basis for the promise is boundless promise. And then there is believing in the promise. There's believing. We have touched upon this. There is the believing. The Lord includes the word believe, as we've said twice. Believe. How often did the Lord use this word when he was asked to do something? Remember Jairus? Came the Lord about his daughter and got word that she had died. And the messenger said, don't bother the master anymore. The Lord said to Jesus, Jairus, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And you can go through the references. Matthew 9, verse 28, Mark 9, 23, Matthew 21, verse 22. Believe. So whatsoever we ask in prayer, the Savior says, you've only to believe. That messenger that came to Jairus that day and told him his daughter was dead, don't bother the master anymore, it's too late, too late. As far as the man, that messenger was concerned, all hope for Jairus' daughter had gone. It would have been impossible to do anything for Jairus' daughter. But then, haven't we already seen today, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that can in Jesus' name believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme. Thy truth I lovingly receive. I can. I do. Believe in thee. All things are possible to me. That's God's word. We just present God's word. May the Lord help us to take hold of it. And where there is a faltering faith, a wavering faith, a little faith, a small faith, let us pray then today, Lord, increase my faith. And may I truly have faith in God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we meet around thy word. We have met around it. Lord, we take thy word as truth, for thy word is truth. And we take these words, Lord, that thou hast given to us. And Lord, thou knowest that with thy help we have sought to present them as plainly as possible, simply declaring thy word, not altering it in any way, not changing the words, but Lord, just simply declaring thy truth. And thou hast told us whatsoever we ask, believing, we shall receive. It shall be done. The mountain shall be removed. Lord, increase our faith. May we indeed have faith in God when we come to praying for and praying over our burdens and those mountains that need to be removed. Have faith in God. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. May we take encouragement from it. Even, Lord, in difficult times, may we remember what the Lord has said and take comfort and encouragement from the Lord's word. For any, dear Lord, that they have to leave now, bless them as they go. Grant them traveling mercy. For those of us, Lord, that remain around thy table, bless us, dear Lord, with thy presence. In the Saviour's name we ask all these things. Amen.